close our eyes. Father, thank you for the privilege to be here this morning. God, we just want to honor you. We declare you're king in our lives. Father, we declare you're king over Cyrus and its surroundings. And we know, God, that that every tongue will confess and every knee will bow. And Lord, we do not feel worthy to come into your presence, but thank you, Father, that through your Son we may. Thank you, Lord, that you are present here, not because we are doing anything, but because your word says that you cover the earth as the waters cover the oceans, and that you are present even in the darkest places. And sometimes, Lord, we just want to be religious and think that we can bring your presence into a place, and that in some circumstances you won't pitch because it's too sinful. But thank you, Lord, that we have learned over the last few weeks that you have come to heal the sick. And Lord, will you just come and open our eyes and our hearts and our spirit this morning, that we will understand that we are able to go and live what you have given us to do. And that every one of us is important. I pray, Lord, that you will just open up that in our spirits this morning. I thank you for that. Amen. And Orla, thank you for Psalm 118, because that 18, Psalm 18, because that just confirmed that what the Lord gave me to share with you this morning is hopefully the right thing. Just to give a bit of background, we have started off a few Sundays ago to say that we do not make much of an impact in the community. The Christian world as a whole doesn't impact the community very well at this moment, and we've said to ourselves that if we look at ourselves and at our communities today, we are less Christian than yesterday. And what is the reason for that? So we have gone through a lot of things over the last few Sundays. We've gone practical to say, where can you start serving in the body? And just this morning, the Lord want us to just realize that we are able. Every one of us is able. And if I just look at the names coming in, committing yourself to one of the areas, I can see from that we still do not think that we are able to do it. So hopefully the Lord will just open up something this morning for us. And I've just broken it up into three areas that we want to look at this morning. And the first one is that just to say it's okay if you don't think much of yourself concerning serving in the kingdom. Because many great men didn't think much of themselves. And I just want to quickly look at three of them. And the one is Moses. And I don't want to go through all the scriptures. I'm just worried that we will be busy too long. And the kids at the back, it's not that easy after 1 hour. But you can read of it. I'm not going to read it. It's in Exodus 3:7 up to 4:14. And we know all about the conversation he had with God, where God brought him before the burning bush. And he asked God three things. And he said, who am I that I can go and speak to Pharaoh, that he would listen to me? And then God answered him, I'm sending you. The second thing he asked God is, they won't believe me. Nobody will listen to me. And as we go through this examples, I want you to look at yourself and to think about yourself. Think about the excuses we have for not committing to serving the kingdom as we should. So Moses, and the third thing Moses said is, I cannot talk. And then God gave him somebody else. But that's the three excuses Moses had when God called him. And so there's nothing wrong with us if we say, I'm not worthy. Or I don't feel worthy. I don't think I can do it. I don't think they will listen to me. I don't think I know what to say. And God answered Moses and he sent him back to Pharaoh, and we know what happened then. And just the third person I want us quickly to have a look at is David. And we all also know this, and just listen to the words how God answered Samuel when he wanted to anoint Reuben, the eldest brother of David. I think it's Reuben. Am I right? Reuben? I think so. And God answered him. And we've got to take this for ourselves as well. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature. Because this guy was big, he was well looking, and he was a strong man. And Samuel thought, this must be the king, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as a man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And I think one thing that we've learned by that video that we looked at last Sunday as well is, if we are willing, if we are just seeking God with all our heart, He will do all the hard work. It's not us who has to do it. It's not us that is competent. He's looking at our heart, and if our hearts comply with Him, He will use us, and He can use us mightily. And obviously he is saying this because David, his outward appearance was not as good as his eldest brothers. So, okay, that's David. And we know where David has gone. We don't want to go everywhere David has gone, but just the third guy. Many of us feel that we've let God down in a big way, and we I think we're at a place of condemnation many times because Satan is using every time we have sinned or we've done something wrong. Satan is using that to keep us away from where God wants us, and he's making us feel guilty all the time, and he make us forget what God said. Remember the story Sabran told about 2 or 3 weeks ago, where somebody had to go to God and ask to hear from God what was this priest's sin that he confessed earlier the week. And the little girl came back and she said to the priest, God says he cannot remember. And that's the way God is handling our confessed sin. He cannot remember. So we do not need to feel guilty. But we know what Peter did. And I just put two verses up on that. And that was just at the end when he denied God, Christ the third time. Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So we went out and wept bitterly. And this is the Peter. After they crucified God, he went back. He says, let's go and fish again. Let's go back fishing. He spent 3 years with Christ. And now he's giving up everything. He denied him. And he went back. He says, let's go and fish again. But I don't know exactly how long it is. Whether it's a month or more or less. But this is what's happening. Not much later. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. And heed my words. And here the same Peter is standing up, and he is explaining to the guys who just crucified Christ. He's explaining to them the gospel. Some of the versions give it as he stood up and he proclaimed boldly the gospel. He raised his voice, and it's the same guy who just betrayed Christ. So it doesn't matter what we do. God can use us if we are willing and if we're obedient. And He's just looking at our hearts. I think that Jock just quickly told this morning about what happened this week, and I was with Jock on I think it was on Tuesday, where he got all the leaders in the community. I don't know whether it happened before, but anyway, everybody of them was together in one of the churches in town, and I just stood amazed. Jock got up, and then what then happened? There was two I think it's Khoza ladies also in the police force, and they said, "We don't understand any Afrikaans." So Jock had to share his passion and what the Lord, they were in English. And I was just amazed, and it was so beautiful seeing Jock just sharing his heart with passion. And what is beautiful is when we have heard from God Himself, nothing stops us from doing what He said. And it was just so beautiful. Not even the language or whatever, or all these spiritual leaders who are supposed to be in front of Him. He just stood up and he said what God has told him to do. And he shared it with so much passion and so much clarity. And I think in simpleness. And everybody said, "We're in. We're going to help you with that." And so what God is just asking us is just to be obedient. And I'm sure Jock didn't prepare anything that he wanted to say in English. Anyway, but I think what I just want to share with you as well is that the table for doing what we have to do is already set. The table is set for the feast. And I just want to read a few scriptures from the first one is from Romans 12, 6. Everything is in place. We can just start doing what God is speaking to you about. And to every one of us, it's something different. We do not have to look at somebody else to know what we have to do. We must hear from God ourselves. And we can also, what we've said last week, is we can also, that's why it's good to be part of a body, to have fellow believers that is knowing you, that is seeing what is happening in your life, that they can confirm what God is speaking to you about. So it is important. You can, and God can use Adele to speak into somebody's life, to say, "I feel that God is saying this and this and this." And it can confirm something that that God has spoken to that person about. Romans 12 verse 6 says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." That is why God has given you gifts. Whether it's spiritual gifts, whether it's in a way talents that God has given you, we're supposed to use them. That is why they are given to you. And if we do not use them, somebody is lacking. Okay. So the gifts are given. We don't need to receive it. It is given. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 56 and 58 up to 58. "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And I think if we just quickly go back to the three guys that we've looked at, Moses, when they have done exactly as God has told them to do, there were victory. So I think it's important to see that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Not in yourself, in the Lord. So it's important that we, and when they were disobedient and what they did outside of the Lord, it was, it just brought trouble to their lives. So, I think the last scripture I want to read on the fact that the table is set, we can go at so many scriptures, is in 1 John 5 verse 4. "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And I just put it in brackets. That's not in the Bible. It's faith is an action. We normally think we have to have faith, I don't know where, but it's an action. It's doing what we believe we should do. And many of you know, in this week, again, I met, or I spoke to the guy who, I can't remember, when Vumile on the farm had that accident. Maybe April or something, 6 months ago. It was one of the truck drivers on the farm, and a heap of crates fell off the truck and hit him right on the head. And it's a long story, but in the morning before I went up the farm, the Lord spoke to me about miracles, and through that passage where he was angry with the disciples because they couldn't heal somebody. I can't remember the exact scripture. And what I took from it, if it was that difficult, Jesus would not have been cross with his disciples. I went out to the farm, and I was in the office. They called me out, and when I got out, the crates were bins, whatever we want to call it. It's where, what we use to put the fruit in when we harvest them. Three of them was in each other, and they fell on this guy on his head. He was lying on the ground, and to make a long story short, we prayed for him there, not because I thought, no, what is the right thing to do? I think I was so scared I couldn't think of anything else to do. And me and another guy on the farm also know Jesus. We prayed for him. And it's now 6 months down the line. He, at that same time, clinic bus that goes around on the farms was on the farm, so there was medical personnel on the farm at that stage. And afterwards, one of the ladies came to me and she asked me, "Sir, do you know what happened?" I said, "No, well, yeah, I know. He had an accident. We prayed for him, and he's going off with ambulance to hospital." And she said to me, "Well, according to her, the guy was dead there." But that is not a big thing. It's today. If I look back, he went to hospital. His skull was how do you say was dented into his brain. He broke one vertebra in his neck and three in his back. And the miracle is there's nothing wrong with him today. Not a single thing. It's 6 months. Sometimes it takes guys 6 months to walk. I can't believe that nothing happened to his back or his neck, because he was out there in the sun. We picked him up, put him on a mattress, and we took him into the barn. He was sitting straight up, and it's just unbelievable how God can just, if we just act according to what His Scripture says, He do the work. We don't do anything; it just happens. And I was just amazed again speaking to Vermilia. I said, "Vermilia, now I want to try and find out if maybe there's something wrong in his fingers or in his hand, or there's nothing wrong with him." And I spoke to the doctor at the hospital. I just can't believe that. He says he can't explain why his brain is not damaged, because they had to pull his skull back outwards when he arrived at the hospital. But yeah, it was just amazing to me that God has already set the table. It is there for us just to act on it. And I think the one thing that is challenging me over the last few weeks is this thing that we need to become a servant. We need to serve. If our heart is not to serve, I think one thing that I always wanted the gifts of the Spirit to work in my presence, and I want to see the reality of that. And it took me a long while to read the scripture. I think it's the next one. 1 Corinthians, just turn over to, I think it's 1 Corinthians 14:12. "Even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel." Yeah, do you hear what it's saying? It's in English. I've got to read it 5 times before I understand it. if we do not have a zeal for the gifts, for the church, we won't have it. It's for the church. It's to excel the church, not us or. And I think that's why we need to understand, if love is not in our heart when we are operating in the gifts, God cannot give it to us. We need to have love for the person. We need to be at the place where we want to serve. And I think we don't need to make it difficult, and it must always be this big miracle thing. I think, Miranda, was it 2 weeks ago, we met at the law school, at the primary school. They had a concert, and I met one of my schoolmates, and we had the year where we're turning from the 30s to the 40s. And I met this guy, and we were kind of friends at school, but after that, not much. And our girls is together at school, and it's just a simple thing. He told me now he's having a birthday yesterday, on Saturday. He's having a party, and he invited me and Miranda. I said, we're coming over, and he said, no, you want to do a, what do you call it, a spit braai? What is it in English? A spit. It's a spit. We take a whole sheep, put it on a rotisserie, or what do you call it, and put it over the open fire, and we braai it like that for about four and a half hours. So, so he said, no, you want to do that, but you don't know why. And I've done it about 10 years ago. I've done it a few times with another friend. And I said on the moment, I said, now I'll come and do it for you. And he said, really? I said, yeah, now I'll come and do it. And yesterday we went out to Herbert, and we went to do this spit braai there. Now, I was more nervous than them because I've done it so many years ago. And and he changed the whole way I was used to do it. But hopefully it will taste well. And just that, I think at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock we finished, and we had a meal we were eating with them. And afterwards I said, please excuse us, we've got to go. And I could just experience his, what do you call it, his, that's what we are in. Yeah, his gratitude, just for a simple act to come. And I'm just sharing this, that we can serve in simple ways, just to bless people. And we don't have to make it difficult always. There's simple ways of serving people. And I'm still smelling the all the spiceria and spices and stuff. But anyway, it was a privilege just to share it with him and his friends, and the meat was good. So I've got. I just want to read that first scripture again on servanthood, just to serve. For even the Son of Man, it's Mark 10:45. I think it's two slides back. Yeah. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Yeah. And we cannot spend time in God's presence if this doesn't stick to our heart and to our actions. If we spend time with him, this will stick to us. And again, I think Paul has said it. I'm not going to go through all the scriptures. Paul has said, it's not me, but by the grace of God. And we don't take anything for it, because it's because of his grace that we are able to do it. But we must step out. We must go and do it. I think, I just quickly want to share with you Matthew 14, because that's actually the scriptures that that God spoke to me last week or somewhere about this thing. And that is where Jesus fed the 5,000. And there's so many things here if we just take it to the need in our community. I'm just going to read from 14. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away, so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they answered him, "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. He said, "Bring them to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to the heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. En die vraag sien ons, hoe dit in ons gemeenskappe gaan. Ek vanoggend hier sit en ek voel, Here, ek het nie 2 visies en 5 brode om vir hierdie massas te gee. Hoe gaan ons 'n invloed hê hierso? Hoe gaan ons hulle help? How will they be satisfied? How are we going to get to a place where the multitudes are satisfied? Not by sending them away. Not by standing cold to their problems. But by feeding them the living word, the bread of life, as we interact with them. And we know that there was much more left than what they started off with. There is always enough. Where Christ is, there is enough for the need, if we are willing. I just want to stop there. I want us to close our eyes, and I want you to just visualize where you are spending your week. At your workplace, with your friends, where you're doing sports, or just relaxing with people. At the schools, where you're dropping your kids every morning. And I want to ask you 3 questions. If you know what you have received from Christ, but you are too busy, the Lord wants to speak to you this morning. If you doubt, you have too little. You do not have anything. The Lord wants to speak to you as well. And He's asking you to bring it to Him so that He can multiply it. Do not know what you have. Ask God to show you. I want the Lord really to come and just speak in our hearts this morning through His Holy Spirit. And just to realize, if we bring to Him what we have, He will multiply it. He will give it to us to give it to somebody else, so that they will be satisfied. Lord, I want to thank You that You have got compassion for the multitudes. I pray, Lord, that You will come and fill us with that compassion this morning. With that love. The great commandment, love one another. Lord, come and fill us now with that love. Open our eyes, Father, to the spiritual battle out there, to see the roots. Of the fruits that we see in our society. Lord, please make us wise how we spend our times. I pray, Lord, that You would give us a capacity to choose wisely how we spend our time. And Lord, this morning I want You to please come and open up to us that You can use a little. That You can use 2 fishes. 5 5 loaves of bread. Father, open up for us that the table is set, that you have done everything that is needed. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that do not know where and how to serve, will you also direct his thoughts and his heart? Give him a passion for something, Father. Use the people around him to open up his eyes and his heart to what you've called him for. Lord, and I declare this morning that your love is enough to be victorious in our area. Father, we declare that we will take up our authority that you have given us and walk in love. And thank you for that. Will you bless us this week, Father? Will you speak with us? Lord, I pray that we will this week spend time with you. Father, I pray that we will have more excellence in our relationship with you than in our workplace. Vanoggend toe ek alleen in die kantoor is, sit ek en ek voel ek gaan vir 15 minute. Sorry, this morning when I was in the office, I thought I'll just pray for 15 minutes in tongues. After 5 minutes, I looked at my watch. 10 minutes left. And the Lord just asked me, you spent 6 hours yesterday with people, never looking at your watch or thinking what to say. How can it be difficult to spend 15 minutes with me? Lord, learn us how to spend time with you. Amen.